There was a nun who works in the home healthcare industry, and she was out making her rounds when she ran out of gas. And as she ran out of gas, luck would have it that there was a station that she had just passed just a little bit ago. And so she walked back and she asked to see if, you know, they had some kind of container that they could, she could fill up some gas in it, and that she could take it back to her car. And the guy there said, regretfully, we just like handed out the last container, but if you wait here for a little bit, then, you know, you can get it then. And she's like, no, I'm just in too much of a rush. So she went back to her car to try and find something that she could use. And as she was looking around, she found a bedpan that she was going to take to this appointment that she went in. So she grabbed the bedpan and she went back to the gas station, and she filled it up with gas, and she walked back to her car, and as she was pouring the contents of this bedpan into the car, there were these two guys that walked by, and one of them turned to the other and said, now that's what I call faith. Now, I can remember times in my life when my faith needed refinement, when I had a lot of fear that dominated my life. And while I had faith and while I kind of trusted in God, I would make decisions for myself and not trust God's control. And rather than having faith, I really didn't have complete trust in Him. And perhaps some of you have experienced this in your life where you believe in God and you trust in God, but you just tend to hold back something, right? And you know God is there, but you haven't done enough to let go so that He can have full control over your life. You know He's there, but and perhaps we think we can do it on our own. Perhaps we don't think we have to reach out to God. And I believe that all of us like to think that we have a strong faith, and faith to move mountains, faith to endure, faith that God is with us all the time. But what if that situation that you're in lasts more than days and weeks, it lasts months and years, or what about a decade? Friends, if you have been in the weeds for years now, here's a woman whose faith, whose complete trust in God in the very midst of struggles came to pass. Now, the story today is found in a couple of the books of the Bible. We read it from Mark here this morning, but it's also in the book of Matthew and Luke. And while it's just written Mark, I want to be sure to let you know that I'm going to be going back to these other two books to give a more complete picture of what is happening with this woman. You see, we get this picture of this very large crowd kind of coming in on Jesus in a very narrow street. I mean, it's kind of bedlam right then. And people from all backgrounds and all ages are bumping into Jesus and rubbing shoulders with Jesus. And as people are pushing in on Him, they are indeed touching Him, right? I mean, they're connecting with the Messiah. Yet, even in all the bumping and the touching and the shoulder rubbing with Jesus, no one there received the miracle. Even though they reached out and touched Him and crowded around Him, no one really expected a miracle to happen for that day. I think one of the lessons that we need to hear this morning is that we need to be more aware and in awe of the presence of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We are so much like the crowd at times, aren't we? I mean, we walk into church, we sing a few songs, we raise our hands and our hearts towards God, we pray and worship in His presence, and Jesus did say, you know, where there's two or more gathered in My name, I'm there, and He's going to be in our midst, and God is here right now with us in this room, and right here alongside of us, and we're constantly bumping into God and crowding in on God, and He's right here in this space. Yet how often do we only rub shoulders with God, or maybe shake hands of some people around us, but we go out the door unchanged and unaffected? How often do we not anticipate something great happening this morning? Just another song to sing, just another sermon to hear, another ho-hum Sunday. When are we going to get to eat? Isn't it incredible how we can be in His awesome presence, yet be so unaware of His miraculous power? Often too preoccupied to notice that God wants to speak and move in our midst right here, right now. And I pray that we can come to worship understanding the mighty power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus, and the whole understanding of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and anticipate what would it look like if you anticipated walking into this room knowing that something powerful was going to happen today in your life. What would our worship look like? What would our fellowship look like? What would our interactions look like if we believed that God was going to do something right here, right now, in this room? This woman in our text did that. She anticipated that something was going to happen. She anticipated that Jesus was going to change her life. And I think we can learn from this lesson. Jesus was gathering a pretty large crowd now. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. People were beginning to follow him around everywhere. One of these moments, a man named Jairus came to Jesus and shared that his daughter had died and asked Jesus to come and touch her and lay a hand on her. And Jairus believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. And it was urgent. And Jesus was headed that way. The crowds, as Luke 8 shares, almost crushed Jesus. And the image here that I get is really unbelievable. It's like two coaches, say the Eagles and the Patriots, trying to push through the crowd of reporters after the Patriots win. And they're trying to... oh my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Whatever. We'll see. So here are these two guys trying to get to talk to each other, and they're constantly being bombarded, pushed around, and pushed towards one another. And I can just see this kind of happening with Jesus, that Jesus is getting pushed, and he's trying to see Jairus' daughter, and he's getting shoved around, and he's being pushed towards this goal that all of these people want him to be pushed towards, to this goal of helping this man's daughter. But God had a different story in mind for that day. I think sometimes we're in this holding pattern while God focuses our attention on, and he wants us to live in the present. And I found that you cannot push God around, that you can't give God directions or a time limit. And the sooner we give up trying to fit God into our own agenda by placing him where we think he needs to be, or trying to convince him that what we think is important for him, the more times we can get away from that, the better. I've noticed in many years of ministry that God will not be relegated to our programming or our schedule. The best we can do is be sensitive to what he's trying to say and what he's trying to do and where God's trying to go. But here the crowd is pushing him and urging them on, pushing them towards their goal when something happens, something miraculous happens. Out from the crowd comes this hopeless, discouraged, despondent woman. And in the scripture that was read by Stacy, we see a deeper concern for this woman. She had tried everything to become well, but her hard-earned money was wasted on the medical help available at the time. In fact, Mark says that she suffered a great deal under the doctors. Plural, right? Yes, multiple doctors. She spent all that she had. And in fact, she became worse. And Luke was kinder in his gospel when he said none could heal her. The woman was bleeding and hemorrhaging, and because of this, not only did this condition affect her health, she was weak and frail, but it also made her unclean. And of course, according to the law of Moses, she was to keep at a distance from everybody else and yell, "I'm unclean, unclean," as people would walk by, so that no one would touch her. She was cut off from worship and from fellowship and from friends. She was cut off. She was lonely, and she felt unworthy, and she was hopeless and isolated and hurt and alienated by everyone. And she lived a life of fear, believing that she was worthless, that she would never get better. And she was alone, not just for a week or a month. For 12 years, she was like that, feeling alone and feeling as though no one understood her. I think there are times when we're walking through the heaviness of a situation, when the wake of emotion has even passed, that can leave us isolated and hurt, angry about people, and yes, even angry about God. It is in those moments when our faith is being tried and tested. It's in those moments I often ask myself, am I still surrendering to God? Am I still trusting that God's will turn out for good here? And it's in those moments when reaching out to Jesus is really the only thing that we can possibly do. And yeah, we should always be reaching out to Jesus, shouldn't we? Because his power is stronger, his power is mightier, his power is more perfect than anything that I can imagine in my life. And so when Jesus appears on the scene, something began to well up in this woman, and there was something about this preacher that talked about God's love, and he seemed so kind and approachable, so accepting, and the law would say, you need to stay back, but here was this guy saying, if you're weary, come to me. Perhaps this woman had listened to him teach before and teach about how he could help her in this hopeless situation. In Matthew 9:21, it says, she said to herself. And so she was kind of talking herself into this. She was encouraging herself into this. The Lord speaking to her spirit. And that's what faith is made of. She had this pressing in kind of faith. She was absolutely determined. Nothing was going to stop her. Not the crowd, not the Pharisees, not the disciples, not the pain or weakness was going to stop her from going up. And she says, if I can just touch him. If I could just touch him. If I could just touch the edge of his garment. If I could just touch it. I'm going to do a little show and tell this morning. I guess a while ago, back in, 2014 or so, I think I showed you last week me standing at the Jacob's Well, and we were talking about Jacob's Well. We went to Jerusalem, and this here is what's called a tallit. Everyone say tallit. Tallit, prayer shawl, tallit. It looks a couple of different ways. One is like this, that, a Jewish man or a rabbi would put around their shoulders like this, right? And it would look like that. Another way of doing it is where somebody would wear it as a shirt, as an undershirt, right? And you would see the tassels coming out of the bottom of this. And I want to show this. I purchased it in Jerusalem. It looks like this. It's kind of the shawl kind of material, and they would wear underneath their robes. And on the tallit, there's a bunch of these tied knots and strings here. I don't know if you can see this, but there's 613 laws of Moses, right? These are laws that were created. There's the thou shalt laws, which is like 248 of them, and then the thou shalt not laws, which is 365 of them, one for every day. Isn't that helpful? And so thou shalt not every day of the year. Listen to this scripture from the book of Numbers. It says this: speak to the Israelites and instruct them to make themselves fringes on the corner of them of their garments, right? And throughout the ages, and let them attach a cord of blue at the fringe of each corner, and that shall be your fringe. And look at it and recall the commandments of the Lord and observe them so that you not follow your heart and lustful urge. Thus you shall be reminded and observed all my commandments, and I will be a holy God, right? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and I, your God, I am the Lord. Now the corners of these, I'll kind of walk back here. The corners of these have a significant importance. So they're called a tzitzit. Everyone called it, say tzitzit. It's T-Z-I-T, T-Z-I-T. And these tzitzits are extremely important here. If you see, you'll see the cords of blue, yes, that are wrapped around. And each of these little sections here, you'll see that it kind of gets longer and longer as it goes down. And each of these wrapped cords represent a number, right? And that number connects to a Hebrew letter. The first number here is 7. It's wrapped around 7 times, and then it's wrapped around 8, and then 11, and then 13. And the first, if you remember, if you add them all up and you take the total numbers, the words that it says is Hashem Echad, which means the Lord is one. God is one, okay? And so that first chord there, the first 7 wrappings, that is the letter what? Yud. The second one is hey. Yud hey, right? The third section with the 11 wraps around is vav hey. Yud hey, vav hey. Now, when I first got here, we talked about breathing the name of God. And we talked about yud, hey, vav. Remember that? Yes? Okay, good. All right. The last one here is 13, and that's the echid. That's the one. And so if you add up all of these things here, you can see that you have yud hey, vav hey, echid, right? Now, the first thing that we talk about is that when you say God's name, Yahweh, Yud Heh Vav Heh, when you're first born, what do? You breathe, right? Yeah, so you're breathing and you're saying what? The name of God, right? You're saying the name of God, the first thing, gives you life. And then when you pass on, what is the last thing you do? You breathe out, right? Your last breath, you say the name of God for the last time here on this earth. The name of God has power. The name of God is power. And so we go back to the story, right? And this woman seeing Jesus, perhaps believing that he was the Son of God, thought to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch those little knots that were probably hanging out the bottom of his garment, if she could just touch that, she believed that she could be healed. The name of God, God is one. God that brings life and hope and joy and peace. And she believed him. If she could just have the faith of that and believed in the truth of that, she trusted that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, then he would be healed. And she decided to touch the hem and the tassel, the tzitzit, and she believed that she was going to be healed by the power of God. And yes, all of these other people were crowding in around him, and all, I'm sure other people had touched this, right? But she anticipated a miracle. She believed that if she could just touch it, that she would be healed. If she could just touch God's name, just touch the hem, that she would be healed. And that's what she does, and she is healed. The hem of his garment was the point of contact for her faith. I mean, the scripture in Luke 8 says she touched the edge of his cloak and immediately the bleeding stopped. Her fear had turned to faith, and she acted boldly in that faith. She reached out and she touched Jesus and she was healed. And interestingly, see, Jesus doesn't have interaction with her beforehand. Typically, when there's miracles in the Bible, Jesus is talking with the person beforehand. I mean, he touches somebody and they walk. He makes a spit and mud sandwich, sticks it on somebody's eyes, and they're healed. And Jesus, at this point, he says, "Who touched me?" And Peter, and this is the New Bryan Standard Version, says, "Jesus, everyone's touching you. Everyone's in on you. They're crowding around you. They're pushing you." And Jesus says something interesting here. He says, "Someone touched me. I know that because the power has gone from me." And I believe that when this woman touched just the very hem of Jesus' tallit, that something happened. And that Jesus knew that the power had been healing her. And soon his focus was on this frightened, trembling woman. See, she hadn't planned on being found out. She was afraid. I mean, she thought, maybe I can just touch this and then I can sneak away. She was afraid to be found out. She didn't know what was going to happen. Was Jesus going to take back this blessing? Was she going to be ridiculed in front of everyone? No, don't have fear. Have faith. Have faith and have trust in a God that can supply all of our needs. Have faith, has trust in a God that will always be there. See, when we live out of fear, friends, we live out of scarcity, of holding on to things ourselves, of living close to everything to the vest, of the fear of unknown, the fear of losing control. We have the fear of letting go. Let us live in faith. For when we do, we live out of abundance. We live out of giving things away. We live out of not holding back, of embracing the unknown, of being willing to lose control and allowing God to grab a hold of us. Faith sustains us in the toughest times. Faith empowers us to press on. Faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith in the Holy Spirit allows us to be filled with abundance and with hope. So her fear turns to faith, and she speaks up and shares her story with Jesus. She shares about her sickness. She shares about her struggles. She shares about her worries and her fears, but she also shares her faith in this man from Nazareth who was the Son of God, and her fear turned to faith, and I pray it can be like us as well. Of course, Jesus knew who touched him. He wanted to complete this miracle, by speaking assurance and loving her in the midst of the hurt. And so he says this, daughter. Oh, what a great word for Jesus to say. That's a beautiful term of endearment. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be well in your illness. Jesus sees this woman's faith. It confirms her belief and her faith and the power and the authority that God has healed her. And when we expect a miracle, when we are so bold and do not grow weary of waiting to God, when we are not afraid but have faith, friends, I believe the blessings will come. They won't always come in the way we want it. It might not be our time or our way, but the greatest blessing that we can have, even in the midst of the biggest difficulty, is developing our faith and our discipleship and our trust in God. The more we surrender our control and our hopes and our desires to God's control, hope, and desires, we will be blessed and we will be encouraged and we will find a sense of love in Christ that knows no bounds. Faith is amazing stuff. Amen? It predisposes us to be a people who understand and receive His blessing. It dispels fear, it dispels doubt, it dispels unbelief. It drives us into God's presence, and it's the only thing that truly connects with God. Faith opens the door and gives permission to God to come in and hear our heart cry. There's a wonderful principle throughout the books of the Bible that says this, seek and you'll find me, right? I mean, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. You call upon me, I'm going to answer you. You humble yourself and I'm going to lift you up. And had the woman never reached out in faith, she would have never been healed. And if we never reach out, if we never receive the answers, the power and the majesty, the healing that God has for us, yes, friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, we will not receive the healing unless we reach out and accepting that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and we will receive those blessings. Reach out and seek God's discernment and direction for our lives. Reach out in any area of your life that you're seeking help and you're weary and you're tired. Just reach out to Jesus. Just touch the corner of His cloak and believe that you will be healed. This morning, we have an opportunity to hear a testimony of a person who has lived in the space of fear and struggle and worry and anxiety. And because of God in her life and her desire to reach out and just be the connection with God, even the little tassels, she was healed and is constantly being healed and made new. And so I'm going to invite Trish to come on up and share a little bit about her story.
Good morning. When the news sheet came out this week and I saw that the message was from Mark 5 about the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, I really felt led to reach out to Pastor Brian. For so many reasons, this story resonates with me and I can see myself in the desperation of doing anything and everything that I could to heal. Throughout the past 8 years or so, I've had the opportunity to sit in sacred spaces with women who have histories of trauma. Mostly the trauma has occurred in their formative years. And the times I've spent with these ladies have really helped me grow in humility and faith. And I have watched God do amazing things and move many mountains to reach them. It's been hard to hear their stories, but it's been a powerful testimony to how far God will go to reach His children. And I think the reason why I have connected to them on a deep level is because I've experienced some of the same pain in my own life. At the age of 14, I was sexually assaulted. And after 36 years, I still have yet to find the words to describe the shame that I felt. It was like someone threw a heavy blanket over my head, and I told nobody what had happened to me for many years. The boy that hurt me told me things that over time became my identity. I believed him. I believed him when he said that I was ruined. I believed him when he said that no decent guy would ever want me, that I deserved what I got, and that it was all my fault because I made him mad. I was so afraid that somebody would really find out that I was that girl. I got really good at hiding my hurts and pains, and you wouldn't know by looking at me how much I struggled every day. I could fool myself into being whatever I needed to be and convince myself that I was doing great. But here's the thing about unprocessed trauma. It comes out in many unexpected ways. It came out in my relationships, and for me it came out because I just didn't trust anyone. It came out with sleep problems and depression, and an overwhelming sense that there was something very, very wrong with me. You see, my body remembers what was done to me, even if my mind doesn't have all the pieces, and my body just remembers. So it was during this time that I stepped away from church altogether. And after 3 years of counseling, my therapist left his practice. And even though that was devastating at the time, it turned out to be a blessing to me because God wanted me back. In fact, he never stopped pursuing me. So desperation drove me back to church. It drove me back to those doors, back to that back pew, with four kids and a very broken, but very well put together me. It was in this room where I learned about grace and love and a family that wanted nothing from me. I heard about Jesus here and heard about the fact that there are reasons for pain and suffering in the world. And for the first time, I saw that my pain was bigger than me, that God could use it all and he could redeem it all for his purposes, all of it. Lori Zimmerman was the first person to pray for me right here. And I don't know what she said, but I do know how she made me feel. And for the first time in a really, really long time, I had felt seen. I was the fearful, hemorrhaging woman, and I desperately was reaching for Jesus because he was it. He was my last hope. He met me here and healed parts of me that I didn't even know needed to be healed, and he continues to do so. He knew every single horrible thing that was done to me and every horrible thing that I've ever done in my life, and he still wanted me. He still turned around and said, "Daughter, go in peace." So you want to know who I am? Because of Jesus, I am chosen and treasured. Because of Jesus, I am loved, free, and forgiven. I'm a child of God, a daughter, adopted, a new person. I am valuable. I'm created to do good. I'm alive in Christ. I am no longer condemned. No longer condemned. I am healed and redeemed, and I know in my heart and in my head that all those things that God says about me are true.
Amen. I want to wrap up with something I've been thinking about this week. Over the course of the week, I've been praying for a lot of different people, and both here at ECOB and beyond. And I know that in my prayer time, a lot of it is just about our church as a whole. And but this week, as I often do, I take out the directory and I start praying through the directory. And so a lot of you here have been prayed for this week. And sometimes I'll shoot you a text, and sometimes I'll just kind of keep that to myself. And it's an inspiring and rewarding discipline if you have never done that before. Just take your church directory and just pray for people. And I start praying for you. I realize that many of us in this room have been struggling with some of these things, and whether it's sickness or relationships or uncertainty about the future. I think all of us have a part in our lives where we're just struggling with something. And as I prayed through the names and I was lifting up you all, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I realized that some of the struggles that you all have been around for a long time. It's not just been a week or a month, it's been years. And you've been tired and you've been weary and you've been worried and angry and maybe even feeling alone for a long time. And these issues are just piled up on issues, and there are struggles that are just piled up on struggles. And I know that there are people in our church that are struggling with guilt and shame and loss, and that they're feeling alone, and they're here right now hurting. And I mean, maybe that's not you. Maybe you're fine, and that's great, because I believe God brings along people who are doing really good right alongside of people who are really struggling, and we get to walk together. That's what being the church is. That's why we come here on Sunday morning, to be the church. And I know there are people here who are struggling with all of these things. In fact, as I look around the room, I'm not going to look at anybody right now, but as I look around the room, I see those people, and I just pray for them, and I just, God, I just ask that you just touch them and hold them and heal them and let them know that they are not alone here in this space. And so if you've been struggling for a while and you can't seem to find a way through and you can't seem to shake this thing that has kind of gotten you down or that you're struggling with or you're wrapped up or you can't seem to break free of the anger that you feel over a person or a situation, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you feel alone. I'm sorry that you feel trapped. I'm sorry that things are not better, that things are not the way that you want or had hoped them to be. And I'm not here to tell you that everything's going to be okay, because I tell you what, I hate it when people tell me that. I really do. It drives me bonkers. Because sometimes, friends, we just are going to sit in the midst of the muck of life. But what I am here to tell you is that I believe this bleeding woman, I believe Trish, and I believe so many who have struggled, that while we are in the muck and mire of life, I want to encourage you that I am there with you, that our church is there with you, but most importantly, that Jesus is there with you. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to reach out to Jesus. I want you to take a deep breath, and I just want you to reach out and just touch the edge of his cloak, because there is power in Jesus. Be bold with your faith. Live the life that God wants you to live, not one of fear, of anxiety, and worry, but one of faith and hope and joy. That's what God wants us to live. God desires that for us, and it might take a little while for you to get there, but it's always there. It will be there for you. Just reach out and allow his power to flow through you and heal all of the spaces that need to be healed. Let's pray together. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this time of surrender and of sacrifice. We thank you for Trish's testimony and the testimony of this woman who was bleeding and yet desired to just reach out and be in contact with the Savior of the world, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the person who heals all, who redeems all. God, we thank you for the opportunity of listening to that message of how somebody can come from a place of fear into a place of faith just by reaching out and touching just the tip of Jesus' cloak. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we claim that this morning. We name that this morning. And we anticipate your healing in our lives as we seek you in all ways. For we pray this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.